Inflation is altering retirement plans. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A quarter of Americans say they'll need to put off retiring given rising prices, according to a new survey from BMO Harris Bank and Ipsos. Inflation's also cutting into saving, Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Pretty much any time there are big changes in the economy,
people start to re-examine whether they're ready for retirement or not.
David John is with AARP.
So yes, I believe a substantial number of people are going to delay retirement, both because of rising costs and the market volatility.
Rising costs are affecting all kinds of decisions for people of all ages, says Paul Dilda at BMO Harris Bank.
80% of Americans say they're planning to change their actions because of the impact of inflation.
Whether that's driving less, saving less, or working longer.
I'm a strong advocate for working longer.
Alicia Minnell at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College says delaying retirement can be a good thing, especially for people under 70.
The ability to increase your monthly Social Security benefit is so important. It's a source of income that goes on for as long as you live. It's adjusted for inflation.
And she says the more of it you have, the better off you'll be when you do retire. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
One of Thomas Edison's enduring quotes is, "I never did a day's work in my life. It was all fun." For Tesla boss Elon Musk, the enduring quote may be this one from yesterday. "Anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum, and I mean minimum, of 40 hours per week or depart Tesla." Translation, back to the office, people. Full time, he means it. Two job openings for every possible recruit these days in America, which makes it a fine time to be a robot. Orders for on-the-job robots are up 40% year over year. The Association for Advancing Automation tracks this. The robots have a trade association, I guess. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more.
A few years ago, a lot of industries weren't ready to commit to automation, says Jeff Bernstein, president of the Association for Advancing Automation.
They thought it was too costly or too complicated.
But social distancing rules and the tight labor market changed the calculus.
And that's why we saw an increase in robot orders coming out of the worst part of the pandemic.
Bernstein says last year's sales set a record, with industries like agriculture, construction, and fast food relying more on automation. So should workers in those fields be worried?
It is inevitable that robots will take people's jobs. There's no need to sugarcoat that.
Siddhartha Srinivasa is a professor at the University of Washington and the director of robotics at Amazon. He says automation can create new jobs for people if companies make the investment.
I think we need to be very deliberate about it.
He says the companies that are buying all those robots should have a plan to retrain the workers they're replacing. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Stocks, S&P and NASDAQ futures are both up in the 4 to 5/10 of a percent range now. Let's check the economic pulse. Today, a note of skepticism about the big idea of starting a U.S. government-approved digital currency. The Federal Reserve's number two, Lael Brainard, said last week if the U.S. doesn't get a move on, it could hurt the dollar's status as the big international currency. Well, Chris Hughes is a senior fellow at the New School, who works with the Roosevelt Institute think tank, and was a co-founder of Facebook. He studied the idea of taking the dollar digital and was left feeling, eh.
You know, listen, there are real problems in our financial system. And I think we can address them through better public policy solutions. A lot of the proponents of a central bank digital currency talk about how it'll improve payment systems, settlement, and clearing. The Fed already has a plan for that. Next year, it'll be debuting a system called FedNow that'll provide for instantaneous clearing. So, you know, in my own research, I kept waiting to find the clear, perfect reason why we needed a CBDC, because my background's in technology. I generally believe technology is making the world a more prosperous kind of place. But it's hard to find a clear reason to have it. And in fact, there are a lot of reasons not to.
Well, I'll try one of the arguments on you. The idea is the U.S. is the world's reserve currency, and wonderful things do flow from that for Americans. And the idea would be if we don't grab this newfangled digital approach, then China will, and the yuan will become the world's reserve currency.
First off, I don't think there's a real challenge to the U.S. dollar status as the global reserve currency. And what's more, a lot of the folks who say we need our own CBDC to counter China, I don't think have really thought through the consequences of it. So in that kind of scenario, where you have an American central bank digital currency and a Chinese one floating about in the international financial system, you would need to have uncapped holdings on how much American CBDC you could own. The only issue is with uncapped holdings, you could see a wholesale move outside of commercial banking accounts. I mean, that would be a massive disruption of our financial and banking system.
Well, Chris, is that your big beef? That, you know, we don't have, in your view, a strong argument for doing the central bank-backed digital currency. And the downside would be if we did, it could be, you worry, fundamentally destabilizing to the existing banking system.
If you were to design a CBDC so that it was uncapped, there's no question it would have significant consequences. You'd see a significant shift out of dollars and deposit accounts at private banks and into accounts that are entirely backed by the Federal Reserve. Why? Because people prefer safety. And without deposits in the banking system, that would be a significantly different system.
Chris Hughes, senior fellow at the New School, co-founder and co-chair of the Economic Security Project. He's also senior advisor at the Roosevelt Institute, a nonpartisan liberal think tank. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.